Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. SDPB's Carl Gerke is the host of Jazz Nightly, but he's also been bringing you the swinging sounds of the big band era every week on Big Band Spotlight on SDPB Radio for 25 years. Wow, Carl.
Wow.
Just wow.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. It's a quarter century. Nearly half my life.
This week, you can tune in to SDPB Radio for the first of a two-part 25th anniversary Big Band Spotlight. Carl's with me here in the studios in Vermilion. Hey, thanks for stopping by.
Well, thanks for letting me stop by and talk about my favorite subject.
I know. We should say Sunday nights, 9 Central, 8 Mountain.
Right.
And I tell you what, when you're driving across the state and you're coming home on a Sunday night, that is such a gift. So thank you for 25 years of this.
I'm privileged to be able to do this for 25 years. Never imagined that I'd be doing this 25 years later when I started doing it back in January of 1993.
Tell me how it got started.
Well, it got started because there was already a Big Band Spotlight. It was hosted by, I believe, Larry Miller, who was on the executive staff here at South Dakota Public Broadcasting. And he left, and Larry Rohr, who was the director of radio, and Michelle Van Manen, who was the program director at the time, knew of my love of this music. And they said, do you want to do the show? And I said, yes, certainly. And I was the arts advocate at the time. And this was a show that then it ran Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, half hour after Martin Bush's bookshop. And then when I left for Minnesota a few years later, and I spent 15 years in Minnesota, Larry Rohr said, do you want to keep doing the show? And I said, yeah, I'd love to keep doing the show. And it eventually became an hour, which is, I think it's been an hour for most of the life of the program. So I've been, when I was in Minnesota for 15 years, then I came back here and continued to do Big Band Spotlight, and now host of Jazz Nightly, so.
Wow, and how did your love of this music get started? Because it goes back even further than 1993.
Yes, it goes back well before I was even born, but oddly enough, this was the music of my youth.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, my dad had a few big band records, Duke Ellington, Benny Goodman, that sort of thing. And scratched them all and played them quite a bit. But what I really remember when this kind of all came together was in Salina, Kansas, at a Chinese restaurant. My dad is from Salina, Kansas. Uh-huh. We're visiting Grandma, and we're at the Chinese restaurant. And there was a console stereo playing these records.
Yeah.
And I asked my mom, I said, what is that? And she said, well, that's Glenn Miller. Mm. Glenn Miller, huh? And for some reason, I'm going to have been, 8 years old or something like that, I decided that Glenn Miller was my favorite. And around the same time, a neighborhood friend of mine was moving, and I must have said something to him that Glenn Miller was my favorite because their parents were clearing stuff out, and they gave me a Glenn Miller record. And I played this Glenn Miller record over and over and over again, so then, yeah, Glenn Miller was my favorite. And then that just piqued my curiosity about other big bands, and the Brookings Public Library had Benny Goodman records and big band collections and books. So I'd go to the library and read books about big band music, and it just kind of grew from there. And then, I'd go to collect, I'd go to rummage sales and find big band records, or there'd be things that would be re-released, and I'd get, I'd ask them for my birthday, and I'd get these records. And so it just kind of grew from there.
Wow. So much of the history of big band is tied up and interwoven with American history,
right.
And so let's dive into a little bit of who these groups were, what were they doing, were they traveling around, where do you want to start with even helping put this into context for people who are saying, well, what exactly is big band music?
Yeah, it's an interesting history, and I do cover it on the first part, 1930 to 1940, and the next week, 1940 to 1950, talking about, so we'll get into sort of the history, but really the big band started coming together around 1930, the format of the big band started coming together around 1930, and then you had 1935, Benny Goodman came along, and really launched the big band era with an engagement at the Palomar Ballroom in L.A. with this music that just really, the youth of America loved this music. And it kind of grew from there. And Benny Goodman's music, by the way, was built on, it had already been around for about 4 or 5 years. The African-American bands, the black bands, had already been creating this music, most notably Fletcher Henderson. And Fletcher Henderson wrote the book for Benny Goodman. So, that's really where that started. And then once Benny Goodman got very popular, then other musicians said, hey, I want to do that too. So then Artie Shaw came along, and Glenn Miller came along, and some of the guys that had played with Benny Goodman, like Harry James and Gene Krupa, then they launched their own bands. And meanwhile, you had the groups that had been around for a while, like Duke Ellington. They were part of the scene as well. And then you had Count Basie out of Kansas City. And then the bands just kind of exploded, and really the peak of the swing era, 1937 to about 1942, and then the big band era continued until about 1946, when Benny Goodman, a lot of these guys, broke up their bands. And then they kind of limped around until 1950. And that was pretty much the end of the big band era. And then Elvis came along, and that was it. That was the final nail in the coffin. You
know. Why does it start to decline? What contributes to the change?
Well, there were a number of different reasons. World War II came along, and that changed the mood of the country, and no longer were people that interested in hearing up-tempo, you know, in the mood, you know, riff tunes. Then along came more of the romantic ballads, the yearning ballads, you know, as the people left back home, the women left back home, yearned for their men that are across the sea, you know, and then they were, you know, missing their loved ones back home. So that became more of the popular music. The singers started taking over. Mm. You know, before the singers were part of the big bands, you know, they would usually get to sing a chorus, but now the singers kind of took over. Then you had World War II. A lot of the musicians in the band were being drafted.
Sure.
So you know, then it was hard for the bands to keep musicians. You know, they had constant turnover. Then the music itself, swing music itself, started getting a little stale. You know, the formulas became kind of old hat, and so there was that, just the change in taste. And then the more adventurous bands became more concert-oriented. Instead of playing dance music, they were becoming more experimental and playing, you know, shifting tempos and weird harmonies and things like that, and alienated, you know, half the audience, because they would go, you know, we want to dance. And then you had these, you know, Stan Kenton and Woody Herman or Dizzy Gillespie playing these crazy sounds, you know, and they're just, we can't dance to that. Yeah. So that was part of the problem, too, is the music changed. And then you also had, you know, after the war, you know, the young people that had been dancing to this music before, they were older now, and they wanted to settle down. They were, you know, raising families or going to school, and it was just a big cultural shift. And it also became economically very difficult for bands after World War II to travel across the country like they had been doing. It just was not economical anymore. So the economics just fell out of it, out of the, you know, the way it had been going before, where these bands would travel all over the country, and now they couldn't do that anymore, just because you had 15, 16 or more people that you were carting all over the country.
It's a big paycheck.
A tiny paycheck, really, is what it is.
For each one of them. Why do we need it today still? What does it still have to say?
This old music?
This old music.
Well, it was you know, a really amazing time in American music history when you had, I think it was popular music at a supreme quality that has never been matched before. You had all these great musicians, great songwriters, composers, and arrangers. So it was this slice of music history that is just amazing, I think. It's just amazing, beautiful music, and I always love it when I hear from younger people, younger than me, you know, people in their 20s or their teens that listen to the program and say, oh, I just love that. Can you recommend something? And then they go out and explore it some more. And it just keeps the music alive, keeps it going. And I don't want to be stuck in the past either. But I think this is, you know, a tremendous period in music history. And I think also this music lives on. These songs are still being played, sung, performed. Yeah. To this very day,
still influencing young musicians as well. My daughter's in a jazz band.
Yeah,
and there's, she's, you know, we heard In the Mood. She's played that.
Yeah,
you know?
And even
she's played some of the greats.
Yeah, and even though the big band era, you know, died, you know, it's not the pop music anymore. Big bands continue. They're all over the country, and you know, they're playing the old stuff, the old dance. You know, there's still a Glenn Miller Ghost Band traveling the country playing the old music, and there's also contemporary bands playing contemporary jazz and just exploring what you can do with this format of a big band. It's just never ending what you can do with this music, and I think it'll last for a long time.
What do you think now when you hear Glenn Miller?
What do I think now when I hear Glenn Miller? It makes me smile. It's like, you know, because that's kind of where it started for me. You know, and then you branch on beyond that. But, you know, still, I think that a lot of the best of Glenn Miller was pop perfection. And, you know, you just think of the theme song Moonlight Serenade. You know, if I could go back in time, you know, say 1940, and there's the Glenn Miller playing live Moonlight Serenade, I think that would just have been an amazing experience, because that's a song, you know, you hear it, a little scratchy record, monophonic, not great sound, but if you'd heard that live, you know, even the old record still gives you goosebumps, still gives me goosebumps to hear that, because there's nothing like it, that sound of those saxophones, and it's just amazing.
It doesn't get old.
Does not get old. I could listen to that song forever.
25 years of big band spotlight, still going strong. Carl Gerke, thank you so much for it.
Thank you for letting me be here to talk about big bands. We could talk for hours and bore you to tears. But
and you can ask Carl almost literally everything. I mean, I've never been able to ask you a question that you didn't know the answer to about jazz or a big band. So what are we leaving? We're going to hear something on the Lasseter.
Another one. This is Benny Goodman, Sing, Sing, Sing.
All right.
Normal big hits.
That's our show for today. We hope that it served you. Thank you to all our guests and to the STPB crew. From all of us at South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.